You know, I put together my part of the television program, and I know that there's no way you can convey on that what has just happened. You know, it just starts me preaching, and some of them just stand there crying, you know, and it's, you know, and there's no way to tell people what's just happened here, what we've just experienced, and you're so moved. I'm so moved, and I'm so thankful. So thankful. How many of you ever had one of those spit shines? Would you raise your hand if you ever had a spit shine? I still smell it. I still feel it. I still see it happening, you know. Mama! I love it. I wish I could have one right now. Oh, man. Whew. We were back there praying. I'll start preaching in just a second. But I was back. We were back there praying, and Don and Paul and myself, and Judy comes walking in the door, and I could tell she's crying. You know, she's got this distressed look on her face. All of a sudden, she just burst out crying, and I thought somebody hit her or something. You know, somebody just, and so you know, what's that? And she's, I miss my mama. And then we all cried. All three of us, all four of us were back there just squalling. Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day, if you didn't know. It's the day that we celebrate motherhood. It's a day that causes us, and I could say makes us, think about mother. And I say it that way because I lost my mother in 1993. She passed on. And sometimes it hurts to think about mama. You know, I don't know about you, but it hurts. You know, it's a good hurt, and it's a pleasant hurt, but it hurts. Hopefully your mom's still here. Hopefully she's still around, you know, and she's still alive and here with you. And if that is the case, then you make sure you tell her today you love her. You make sure that you call her, go see her, do something for her. If she's a distance away, then give her a phone call, but do something and tell her how much you love her and how special she is and what she means to you. Because let me tell you from experience, a day comes when you can't do that. And, you don't think that day will ever come, but that day comes. And if you're like me, your mother has passed on, then let's cry together today and let's remember our mamas and all those wonderful, wonderful memories that we have of mama. Okay. Mothers always have a hope and a plan for their children's lives. They've got this thing that they're seeing the potential that's within their children. And they oftentimes can see it far better than can we. And so they have this plan, and they want their children to excel and do more and learn more and be better than were they. And so they're always in the process of raising us. They're bringing us into their plan. They want us to excel. And it's not like they're going to tell us what we're going to do. But their plan is that we'll exceed their position in life, and that we will have more, do more, experience more, and have a better life. And so in my development of trying to develop that thought and research it out, I came to this passage that I want to read to you. It's in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. And you can go ahead and be turning there, because we're going to stay right there most of the day in Matthew 20:20. But Matthew 20 and verse 20 says this: Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. So it's from that passage that I took our title for today. And our title today is Make My Children Great. When a mama goes and prays for their children, at the bottom of the prayer is Make My Child Great. Make My Children Great. So if you'll be turning to Matthew 20. And verse 20, and we're going to spend a good bit of time there. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for our grandmothers. We thank you for the generations that you put together to create us. And we thank you. And we thank you for this day that causes us to remember and think about our wonderful, fantastic creations, most precious pearl, our mothers. And we want to honor them today. So be with us and touch each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed how mothers have a sixth sense? It always fascinated me. It was interesting to me about Mrs. Zebedee here, the mother that brought her children to Jesus. It was interesting to me the point that she came. She came to Jesus at a specific point, and the Bible seems to emphasize that. So I want to show you this, and then I want to talk about it just a second. It says, then, verse 20 says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus. And that was interesting because of the emphasis that it put on then. It was right after Jesus had told his disciples, he says, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be scourged, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be spat upon. They're going to take me, they're going to crucify me, and on the third day, I will raise from the dead. Then, the mother of Zebedee's sons. It was interesting. It was like mamas have this ability to hear things that really weren't said. Did your mama like that? I mean, she could kind of know your thoughts. You know, you better not do that. You know. And mothers have that. She heard Jesus say something that James and John didn't hear. She heard something happening. She saw something happening that no one else there really saw. Then she came. Then. Moms are like that. They have this weird, spooky sixth sense. I remember one time I was out in the woods hunting. And here comes Mama walking in the woods and found me in the woods. How did you know where I was? She says, I just felt to come this way. I've watched my wife do that with our kids. You know, she just picks something up. She hears something that wasn't said. She knows something that really wasn't conveyed. But yet, mothers have this ability to then, then the mother of Zebedee's sons. It's interesting. It was interesting to me also that in verse 20 it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons, it talks about the mother of Zebedee's sons. It doesn't give her name. Her name's not given. She's simply referred to as the mother of Zebedee's sons. Mothers are the secret force behind our lives that help us become successful. I was pondering that thought. You know, we all are aware of George Washington, and we know what a wonderful president that he was, our nation's first president, and what a great man he was. But we never hear anything about his mother. So I did a little research on this, and I found a book that was written about George Washington's mother, and it's by a Jean Fritz. And I want to read you this. This is about his mother. It says, "This is the true story of Mary Washington. When she wasn't worrying about being poor, she was poking her nose into George's business, baking gingerbread and smoking a pipe." The mothers are like that. They're always poking their nose into our business. But it's never to hurt us. It's always to help us. And I don't care how old you are, or how successful you are, if your mother's still alive, she is still poking her nose into your business. Now, she may or may not smoke a pipe. I don't know. But she's still interested in your life, and she's going to continue, as long as she's able, to be influential in you, in your children, in your grandchildren, because she's mama. I was thinking about that thought, and if we carry that same thought about George Washington's mother to our present president's mother. We see the same thing in Barbara Bush. Now, it would not surprise me if Barbara Bush did not smoke a pipe. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me a bit if she did. But I do know this, that she was a major contributor to his success. See, moms are the force, the secret silent force, the nameless force behind our lives. She was the one who made me do my homework, made me take a bath, made me go to college. And she was always poking around in my and our business, And I would bet you that it's that way in your home too. Because she's so interested in your success and you're becoming great. As great as you can be. Zebedee's sons, it says. Matthew 20:20 says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons. Those two boys had names. They were James and John. They became apostles. They were James and John. And I was thinking, though, about those two boys and how they were known in the community. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Jesus gave them a surname or a nickname. And the nickname that Jesus gave to them was Sons of Thunder. Let me read you this verse in Mark 3:17. It says, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Now, what do you have to do to be nicknamed a son of thunder? What has probably taken place in your life, and your brother is also a son of thunder? Can you imagine what Mrs. Zebedee had to go through with these boys? You know, thunder accompanies a storm. It comes before, you hear the thunder before the storm comes. And so these boys were always accompanying storms. These boys were always around the storms of life and bringing storms themselves. So it wouldn't be right to try to speculate what was going on with Miss Zebedee. But wouldn't you suspect that she wondered sometimes if she was going crazy? And I would suspect that sometimes your mother wondered, this kid's going to drive me crazy. I know I did. You know, with my mom, I know that there had to be times when she thought that she was just going to lose her mind because of me. But still, through each crazy thunder thing I did, she loved me. And it was never conditional. Mama never loved me according to whether I was good or bad, or I was making a storm, or whether I was bringing peace. Her love was unconditional. And that's the way moms are. Mom's love is so much like God's love. You know, God doesn't love us simply because we're good. God loves us unconditionally. And mothers are like that. My mama loved me. She cared for me, even in my thunderous times. I remember one time I had done something that had just totally devastated our family. It was a really bad thing that I had done. But Mama, after she cried, she hugged me. And then she helped me get through that time. And she kept loving me and kept supporting me and kept praying and wanting me to be successful. Mothers are like that. See, God knows somehow exactly to which mother can take care of us. It's like He says, okay, this kid's going to be this way. I need to give this kid to this woman. This woman can handle this kid. And, you know, it's like rather than a mother picking a child, it's like God picks the child, sees the child, and then gives him to the mother that can take care of him. I saw here, too, that she came with her sons. Matthew 20:20 says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons. See, Miss Zebedee brought her children to the Lord. Moms are good at this. They bring their children to the Lord. There's nothing greater, Mom, that you can do for your child than to make sure that your child comes to the Lord. Now, hopefully this happens at a young age, but even if they're full grown and think they're disciples of Jesus, you can still bring them to the Lord. I'll never forget how desperately, when Lance was born, our oldest, when he was born, how desperately Judy wanted him to be christened. You know, and we weren't even hardly attending church. But it was a big thing to her. She wanted him brought to the Lord. She didn't know exactly all that meant. She had seen it done, and she thought it was the sweetest thing. But there was this driving force inside of her that wanted her baby christened. And nothing would settle until we got that done. Mothers are like that. They bring their babies to the Lord. And I noticed that Mr. Zebedee was not there. And you know what I'm about to say. I want to make sure we see this. Mothers, it really doesn't matter what dad does. If we want him to come, and we're pretty good here about praying him in, but if he comes or doesn't come, you need to bring your children to the Lord. You need to bring them here. You need to beat them. You need to drag them. You need to do whatever you need to do, but you need to bring them to the Lord. I was in that mindset, and I was doing researches, and I ran across this writing in a sermon that I was actually reading, so it's so good. I just captured it, and I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to give the guy credit who wrote it. His name is Joe Harding. He wrote this, and I want you to read along with me, but I want to read it to you. He says, "I had a drug problem when I was a young person and a teenager. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday night. I was drugged to church on Wednesday night. I was drugged to Sunday school every week. I was drugged to vacation Bible school. I was drugged to the family altar to read the Bible and pray. I was also drugged to the woodshed when I disobeyed my parents. Those drugs are still in my veins, and they affect my behavior in everything I do, say, and think. They are stronger than cocaine, crack, or heroin. If our children had this drug problem, America would certainly be a better place." Yeah, all right. And I couldn't help but think of the story Duran tells us about his mama. And he and his brother Jeffrey, on Sunday mornings, they would lay in bed and they would try to be real quiet, hoping that Linda would sleep late and miss church. They so didn't want to go. And then she would come in there and she'd say, "Okay, let's get up and let's go to church." And they'd rebel and "We're not going." She'd get a stick and come in there and beat those boys. And they went to church. And what one of the most precious things is Wednesday night we had our communion time here and gifts of the Spirit. And we were ministering to people, and a lot of words and prophecies and those kinds of things were coming up. Well, here comes Duran, you know, walking up through there with such a sincere heart and such a pureness about what he wanted to share and what he felt to give to somebody. And he came up several times Wednesday night. And I was just thinking, you know, Linda, it was because you drug him. he has a drug problem. It was because his mother drug him to church. And then it says that she, kneeling down, Matthew 20:20 says, and kneeling down. Get the picture. She brings her boys to Jesus, and then she kneels down. In the Lord's presence, she falls to her knees, and she starts asking the Lord about her children. It was a beautiful picture, that is, of a mother praying. What sort of impact do you suppose that had on those boys? See mama kneeling down. What mental thing stuck in there for the rest of their lives as they would think about prayer, they would think about mama in the presence of Jesus kneeling down. It would be something that would never leave them. See, mothers who allow their children to observe them worshiping the Lord have children that worship. If worship is important to you and you allow your children to see you worship, then your children will think that's the thing to do, because nobody's more special than mama. Nobody's more perfect than mama. And mama, if you'll worship, your children will worship. And then she said this, "Make my children great." Here she is with her boys. And she's kneeling in the presence of Jesus. And here's what she says. "Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other on your left.'" She wasn't coming to ask something for herself. She was coming to ask something for her children, because if a mother's children are blessed, she's blessed. If a mother's children are happy, she's happy. Her life evolves around Jesus and those children. A mother is so into her children being blessed, and if her children are blessed, and if her children are happy, then she's going to be happy. Moms should constantly get as close as they can to Jesus and then pray and ask that their children be made great. That their children be great. Take my two boys to the top, she said. Is there anything more powerful than a mother's prayer? Anything. I don't know of anything. Just the sincere love of a mother for her kids, and as she comes before the Lord in such pureness, such holiness and wholeness, she says, make my kids great. Make them happy. Bless their lives. You see, I think that the difference between somebody being successful and not successful is a mother's prayers. I believe it's that important that mothers pray for their children. And then she said this, make them great in your kingdom. 2021 says this, what is it you want? He asked, she said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom. Miss Zebedee had a revelation of the kingdom. She wanted her children to be used in the kingdom. She wanted them to be important in the kingdom. And they both were. James was so influential and was bringing so many people out of Judaism into Christianity that Herod had him killed. And he became the first martyr of the church. Interestingly, that when the scriptures talk about such things as this, as the blood of the martyrs, it sees it as a seed, and that from the blood of the martyrs comes what we are today. John, as you well know, wrote the book of St. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Millions of lives have been touched by those two boys. Maybe billions. She says, make them great in your kingdom. And they were. Mothers, I want to say this to you. And here's the strongest point that I'm going to make, and where I want to make sure that I get across what I'm wanting to say today. Don't only pray that your child be great, but pray that your child be great in the kingdom. How important, moms, would it be if mothers today prayed not only that their children be great, but their children be great in the kingdom? How many lives could be touched? How many people could be changed? What a difference would be made in this world if mothers would not only pray that they would be great, but be great in the kingdom? What if we put as much time, energy, money, much effort as we put into their becoming great in the world as we put into their being great in the kingdom? I was back there early this morning. Got here about 6:30, and I was back there, and I was at this point. And my mama probably never prayed that for me. She didn't know about the kingdom. She knew about Jesus. I knew she prayed for me, but probably never prayed that specific prayer for me. Make them great in your kingdom. So I was sitting there, and I started praying for my kids. You know, Father, make Lance great in the kingdom. Make Bonnie great in the kingdom. And then I started praying for my grandkids. Did I say that correctly? I was praying for my children, and then I started praying for my grandkids. I said, Lord, make Jack great in the kingdom. Make Max great in the kingdom. Lord, let me do all I can to help them be great in the kingdom. So, Mom, I want you to pray, not only for your child's greatness and be successful, but that they be great in the kingdom of God. So let's conclude this thing. Mothers always have a hope. Mothers always have a plan for the kids. And it's not like they're going to tell you what you're going to end up doing, but they want you to be great. They want your life to be great. They want you to excel to the very top. Mothers have this amazing sixth sense. And children, hear me. You listen to that. You listen to that mom's sixth sense. It is spooky, but it is real. And it will save you much heartache and much problems if you will yield yourself. When she says something, you better hear it. This just came to me. We used to spend our Sundays at the lake. And I'd pull my boat up and tie it and anchor the back end out so that they could jump off the kids could jump off the back of the boat. And so Lance was diving off the back of the boat. And Judy said, "Lance, that's enough." And as he said, "One more time." She said, "No, that's enough. I want to do one more time." And off he went. He come up, he hit a bottle down there, cut his head. And that's just a simple illustration that I could share with you. There are some I can't share with you that she had. But children, your mother has a sixth spooky sense. You listen to it. It will mean the difference of your success or your failure. Mothers are the nameless force behind our lives that force us into success. Mothers love us even when we bring storms and trouble and lightning and thunder. Mother bring their children into the presence of the Lord. Mothers allow us to observe her worship of Jesus. Mothers request that the Lord makes her children great. But most of all, mothers see that true greatness is greatness in the kingdom of God. So I want to challenge our mothers today. God has given you the greatest blessing possible. He's entrusted you with a life. He can trust you with nothing greater than a life. You get to birth life. You get to hold life. And train life. So train it well. We husbands and fathers and sons-in-laws, we praise you. We thank you. LifeGate Church thanks you. The kingdom of heaven thanks you. But most of all, Father God thanks you. You keep on dreaming big dreams for your kids. You keep on taking them before the Lord. I don't care how old they are or how young they are. You take them before the Lord and you make sure that He hears you as you pray for your children to make your children great. You see their potential more than anyone else in this whole world. So I want you to make certain that you bring your children before the Lord. Above all, make them great in the kingdom of God. Make my children great. God bless you this Mother's Day. I want it to be the best one you've ever had. I want you to experience the joy and the presence of God in your life with your children. Let's pray. Father, how wonderful you are to have given us such perfect mothers. Mothers that were just designed for us. Mothers that you had trained and molded so that they could handle us. So, Father, I ask you now to bless these mothers. I thank you for my mom, for my grandmoms. I thank you for my wife and the mother of my children. I thank you for my daughter who is becoming a mom and is a mom. I thank you for my one day daughter-in-law. And, Lord, I know you're going to be moving on this body and showing us more and more and more of the blessedness of motherhood. And we praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for me? Amen. Yeah.